because the thought that Words of Comfort could be the alternative title to a show actually titled We're Gonna Die make it sound less scary? Young Jean Lee wrote and performs the monologues and songs in the Obie-winning show, backed up by her band called Future Wife. She's the artistic director of the Young Jean Lee Theater Company and has been called the most adventurous downtown playwright of her generation by the New York Times. It's in performance at Lincoln Center's Claritale Theater through this weekend, and she joins me now. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The show originated a couple of years ago at Joe's Pub, I gather, and I've seen it described as a pop music cabaret act. Do you have a label for it?
I guess that would work.
And you deal with dark subjects in this pop music cabaret act, loneliness, illness, death. And I remember the last time you were here, we talked about your play, The Shipment, that dealt with black identity politics, though you yourself are Korean-American. And we discussed the way you pick subject matter for your work. And you said it's from what scares you the most at the time. Mm-hmm. So I guess the thought that we're going to die is pretty scary.
Yeah, well, I actually wrote the show in the immediate aftermath of my father's death. He had like a prolonged struggle with lung cancer, and it was the way he died was terrible, and I was really traumatized by it. And I remember getting an email from a European presenter that was supposed to be complimentary, and he said, you know, I love it how you are mean, and I love how you attack. And so, you know, so I thought, oh, like I've become known for making these sort of attacking, aggressive shows. I wonder what it would be like to make a show that attempted to be comforting.
And We're Gonna Die is billed as a life-affirming show. And you do share the words that have comforted you as you faced this and other crises. Was creating the work itself a way of making these existential horrors less scary?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the whole show, it was therapeutic to make. It has a therapeutic effect on people. I get emails from people every day sharing horrible stories about things that have happened to them, and they said that some people have said that this seeing the show or listening to the album was the first time they'd felt comfort in a long time.
In the show, you do all the monologues and the singing. On the album, you have guest artists like David Byrne and Laurie Anderson and Sarah Neufeld of Arcade Fire performing the monologues. As a playwright, I would guess you would expect other artists to take on your work or hope they would. But now as a performer, too, do you get jealous?
Oh, definitely not. I cannot wait to train somebody else into my part and not have to perform the show anymore. I'm just really not. I'm not an actor, and I don't love, you know, doing
being
those monologues.
Stage.
Yeah.
So here's a sample of one of the monologues from the album. This one's called Family Reunion, as read by Sarah Neufeld, 30 seconds worth.
So, okay, a lot of people believe that the best way to not feel alone is to find romance. But, as most of you know, there are a lot of problems with that. One of the biggest ones being that not everyone can find it. I didn't find romance until after I'd graduated from college. When I was in high school, I didn't date at all. And then when I was in college, I dated a series of alcoholics, none of whom were my boyfriend, which I knew because they would always tell me, you're not my girlfriend.
And that leads to a story about finding a boyfriend, but then eventually it ends, and that story is in another of the monologues, right?
Yeah.
Maybe now would be a good time to ask about the name of your band, Future Wife.
You know, it was really, it's so hard to find a band name because they're all taken. And and one of the band members just came up he was like, well, what about Future Wife? And I was like, yeah, I like the sound of that. And so it was just sort of a random choice.
If you write by picking things that scare you the most, I don't know what to make of the fact that your newest work is called Untitled Feminist Play. Is feminism scary?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. It's incredibly scary to take it on because compared to race, I mean, compared to feminism, race is just a walk in the park. You know, you start. Yeah, absolutely. Like in any room I've been in, feminism comes up and just the level of contention and sort of angst and hostility around the topic is unbelievable.
And so how do you deal with that in Untitled Feminist Play?
Well, I dealt with it by just taking all the words out of the show. You know, I just, the whole process was a process of like removing more and more of the words from the show. And I realized that even if there was one word in the show, you know, if there were one word spoken in the show, people would fight and go crazy over that one word. So eventually it just became like a movement piece where people just had to deal with it emotionally and they couldn't get into these sort of intellectual fights over it.
So people are going to have reactions to it one way or another. They're going to feel something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later in the show, we're going to talk to Mark Epstein, the Buddhist psychiatrist, about what he calls the trauma of everyday life. And part of his book is disabusing us of the idea that we can get over traumas, like some of the stories you tell in your piece. This idea of sitting with, or in your case, singing about, the inevitability of death and suffering kind of strikes me as Buddhist. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really coming from that standpoint, but I think, you know, that, you know, when I was dealing with this, with how my father died, like, it just ended up being the only real answer, you know, because there is no solution or answer to really horrible tragedy.
Your family's religious background is actually fundamental Christian, right?
Yes.
One of your earlier plays was Church, which took the form of a church service but with a slightly different message. Do you see similarities between the message in this show and what your mother might find in a church service?
Well, you know, my mother really likes the show. So, I mean, I think it's not I don't think that it's incompatible with most religions, I would say. You know, like the aspect of religions that are comforting, you know, for a lot of them, I feel like they're, you know, this doesn't contradict that. But the difference is, you know, the answer in this show is not, oh, well, everything's going to be better once we're in heaven.
We should acknowledge that the show is sold out, although there is a cancellation line and now the album. So even if you can't make it to Lincoln Center, you can hear the work. But this cancellation line is there. So if people want to brave it and take the chance, how early are they having to line up?
6:30. Yeah.
And it just runs through Saturday. Considering the success, is this going to be extended or replicated?
Well, we've been performing it all over the world for the past 2 years,
and you're touring it.
Yeah, and this is our second run at Lincoln Center.
Uh-huh.
So it just doesn't seem to die.
Which is an interesting way to describe a show called We're Going to Die. What may come after Untitled Feminist Play? What else are you working on that scares you?
My next show is called Straight White Men, and it's a straight white male identity politics show.
Can you do that with a sympathetic ear?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you have to. I mean, that's, you know, it's. I mean, that's why I always do the show that scares me most, is because it actually forces me to change as a person, you know, because you can't, you know. So when I was doing the church show, you know, I couldn't make an interesting work of art if I was just going to beat up on evangelical Christians. You know, that would just be too easy. So
is it straight conservative white men?
No, it's actually not. It's straight liberal white men.
And what are you learning about them?
Oh, my gosh. So much. I mean, it's been so fascinating. I mean, the first level was just anthropological, where I now know all of these sort of like secret unspoken codes between straight white men that are not even on a conscious level. But it's like I've been assimilating and learning and observing these codes. It's very, very complicated, actually, to be a straight white male.
It is. I can attest to that.
Yeah, much more complicated than you would think. And it's quite stressful, you know, like thinking, you know, having to think about these. I mean, it's a very like protective mode of being that that I feel is very particular to straight men, but straight white men also in particular.
Hopefully not always protective, but protective because they feel the world sort of closing in around them because there are so many more, you know, acceptable ways of being today?
Oh, no, not even that. I would just say protective in the sense that, you know, like manhood, you know, straight white manhood is something that just, you know, because it's an artificial construct like everything else, like it in order to continue to exist, it must be defended.
You think you'll ever take on political polarization and try to solve the country's problems on stage?
You know, I never try to solve any problems on stage, which is, I might take on the government at some point.
And so we will have to leave it there with Young Jean Lee. We're Gonna Die plays through Saturday at Lincoln Center's Claritel Theater, or is available as a CD or download at Amazon. Thank you so much for making us think again.
Thank you.
As we go out with more music from the play.